I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Here's what the American people know and believe about the FBI today, sir. If you are a Trump, you'll be prosecuted. If you are a Biden, you'll be protected. And the American people that I represent are sick and tired of this double standard. It seems like every single hearing that we have in this room, we talk about the two-tiered justice system of Biden's DOJ and the FBI. And as we were talking earlier, here we are again.
I obviously disagree with your description of the two standards. In my view, we, at least under my watch, we have one standard.
Okay.
And that is we're going to pursue the facts wherever they lead, no matter who likes it. And I add that last part because especially in sensitive investigations, almost by definition, somebody's not going to like it.
Well, that's obvious. Anytime someone's under investigation, somebody's not going to like it. That was Christopher Wray, FBI director, testifying before Congress and being questioned at that point by Texas Congressman Wesley Hunt, a West Point graduate. But he nailed it. He said the majority of the American people believe we do have a two-tier system. And you have FBI Director Wray saying, that's not true, not on my watch. How the hell can you sit there, sir, and say there's been no two-tier system on your watch? Let me see, were you not in charge when the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago? Ah, yes, you were. Were you not in charge when the FBI decided to give a courtesy call to the attorneys for Joe Biden? We need to come look at your house, see if you got any classified documents. Were you not in charge when it's a decision made, and I know this happens at the DOJ level, but still that you guys are contributing, that it's okay and we should prosecute and charge Trump for possible espionage and mishandling of classified documents? And were you not also in charge when you ignored the classified documents Biden had, much less denied and ignored continually the Hunter Biden story? Oh, but they would tell you, no, we're still working. We're still working on that. Hey, thanks for joining us. Always glad to have you on board. Here we are, July 13, 2023. I remind you, during the noon hour, we are live streaming on numerous platforms now. There have been demands that, hey, I want another way to pick you up other than Rumble. So we're answering. We're on Rumble still, but you can also go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter. We're live streaming. Or News Talk STL Facebook and News Talk STL Twitter. We are live streaming. Make sure that you and your friends and your family all know about it so they can pick us up in whatever form they want. It's interesting in watching some of the numbers as we began this week, starting to go under these different options. Some of the numbers were really high in some areas and some others they dropped off. I know what's happening. It's diluting certain sources. That's okay. We're just glad to have you. And of course, we certainly want you listening to that 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, Larry Connors USA Daily Report, as we're doing for you right now. And let me remind you of something else. While we're looking at all this stuff coming up and happening at this point, the reason FBI Director Wray was appearing before Congress was not to be crucified for all the failings of the FBI, and yet he had to know when he walked in, this is a lion's den. And I don't think God's going to pull you out of there. Now, of course, there are Democrats also on this Congressional Judiciary Committee, headed by Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. But if he thought he was going to get a pass from some of the Democrats, that didn't work out either. We'll get into that in more detail in a moment. But he's there also because the FBI has two concerns. We need more money, or we want more money. Let me put it that way. We want more money. So they got to come forward and justify. No way in hell can he justify a reason for them to have more money with the way they've been spending it and how they've been using it up to this point. And they want a new FBI building. I could care less if they get a new building. And, of course, they want to renew, as it exists now without any changes, the FISA warrant applications. So we can go about lying to federal judges as to why we need wiretaps on American citizens under the claim that it's a FISA need because it might involve foreign intel activities, such as the Steele dossier when they went after Trump and Russian collusion. So he's got to go through all of that. But, of course, when he goes forward for that, chum in the water, and the sharks are moving in. Now, Congressman Wesley Hunt of Texas again says that, you know, I've always liked the feeling and the saying and the belief that no one is above the law.
In the 247 years of this existence of this great nation, only one president has ever been indicted by the DOJ and is home raided by the FBI. Now, some have said that President Trump's indictment means that no one is above the law. Okay, all right, I would love to see that. But what about Hillary Clinton? And what about Joe Biden? And what about Hunter Biden, who is America's favorite son? Let me tell you something. I got a 4-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter at my house. Hunter Biden to me is like glitter. He is on everything and you cannot get rid of him. And yet nothing is going to be done about this. And we're sick of it.
We are sick of it. And his analogy is certainly perfect for anyone who has children of your own or grandchildren or kids that come over and they have some confetti and before they're done, it is everywhere. You will spend years trying to track down the last flake of confetti. But you'd actually be looking for it. They're not looking for it. And it's right there in front of them. And in fact, Congressman Jim Jordan, who's overseeing and chairing this Judiciary Committee, said, let's go back to something else that took place with inside the FBI and Director Ray, your involvement when it came to the story that was being given to the media in advance of the last election.
In October 2020, when Facebook asked FBI, is the Biden laptop story Russian disinformation? The FBI's response was no comment. Do you know who gave that response?
I do not.
The court knew, and the court said it was Laura Demlow. Do you know who Laura Demlow is?
I do know who Laura Demlow is.
And what does she do?
Laura Demlow is an agent in our counterintelligence division, and she currently works with the Foreign Influence Task Force.
Doesn't she head the Foreign Influence Task Force?
I think she leads it, yeah.
She leads the Foreign Influence Task Force. Did you tell her to give that comment?
Did I what now?
Did you instruct anyone when Facebook asked, did you instruct them to give the no comment?
I don't remember giving any instruction along those lines, although I should say I'm not sure whether Laura Demlow was in that role at the time frame that you described, but
again, the court right now, in Louisiana said she was and said when Facebook asked her specifically, she said no comment. And this is the Foreign Influence Task Force leader, Foreign Influence Task Force that you created as director of the FBI, correct? All that's correct. You created the Foreign Influence
Task Force. I did create the Foreign Influence
Task Force. Yeah, you put that together and she heads it up.
Okay, so that he could admit. Okay, I did correct it. I don't know who gave her that. And you know the man sits there. He does not have a single piece of paper in front of him. I guess he's trying to prove I am so good with my information and my answers because one of them is imprinted. I don't remember. I don't really know that. I don't have that. And you know why he doesn't want to have any papers there in front of him? Because they'd probably say, we'd like copies of all those papers and notes you have in front of you. So he goes in empty-handed. And empty. Hey, you watching on one of our live streams? Yeah, you know. There's a lot of work for the FBI. Our border's wide open. We know we have caught terrorists already inside our country. We've caught terrorists trying to come inside our country, posing as Latinos from a third world part of South America or somewhere. And we have others from all over the world, 140 to 150 different nationalities coming across our border. And we don't know many of them at all. We're not vetting them. We're simply giving them a little slip of paper and say, you're free to roam about America. Now, that falls primarily on the Department of Homeland Security. However, the FBI has a major part in that, or should have, and if they don't think they have enough men or manpower, let me put it that way, for you people, women, he, she, pronoun, whatever you want, maybe they're just not using them properly. To that extent, Congressman Troy Nails of Texas, who knows specifically about the border issue, raised the question for the FBI director.
I have an article here from CNN in January 2022 calling the January 6th investigation the biggest investigation in FBI history. And what shocks me about this, quite honestly, is that you don't mention January 6th. Again, the biggest investigation, not one time in your 14-page testimony. You don't mention it one time. And that makes me ask myself the question, what the hell are you hiding? Sir, you mentioned 38,000 agents and support personnel in your agency. How many FBI agents and support personnel have you assigned to the January 6th investigation?
I don't know that I know the number. I know we have a lot of people working on it in multiple
fields.
Lots.
Yeah. Knowing that you are dealing with some of the sickest people in our society with investigations related to child sex trafficking, have you reassigned any of these agents or personnel to investigate January 6th? Yes or no?
I don't believe we have reassigned people away from child exploitation to January 6th.
Let me just say this, Director. I find that answer
knowledge.
Disturbing.
It is disturbing. And once again, I don't know. I don't recall. I don't, you know. If you were that evasive with the FBI interrogating you, they would immediately say, you are lying and we're going to hold you here until you come clean. So then Congressman Nell said, well, let me help you since you seem to be confused. Let me remind you of an FBI informant.
I don't believe we have reassigned people away from child exploitation to January 6th.
Let me just say this, Director. I find that answer disturbing because last month, Steve Friend, he testified before the Weaponization Committee. Mr. Friend was a domestic terror investigator for you, and he was told by one of his superiors that January 6th was, I quote, a higher priority than pursuing child pornography cases, end quote. And for those of you watching in America, understand today's FBI is more concerned about searching for and arresting grandma and grandpa for entering the Capitol building that day than pursuing the sick individuals in our society who prey on our children. And Mr. Ray, your priorities are flawed.
They are flawed. And in fact, if he thought he was going to get an easy touch from the Democrats, well, one Democrat stepped forward and said, I'm extremely upset with the FBI.
The ODNI declassified a report revealing that the FBI and other agencies do purchase significant amounts of commercially available information about Americans from data brokers. Can you tell me how the FBI uses that data?
Respectfully, this is a topic that gets very involved to explain, what I would prefer to do is have our subject matter experts come back up and brief you, and they can answer your questions in detail about it.
Congressman, were his answers today sufficient for you?
Caitlin, they were not. And throughout my questioning, I kept saying to him, this is our job, is to have you testify in public before the American people and before Congress about what the FBI is doing. And we do have significant concerns. It's not just I. ODNI, for those who don't know, is the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. That is where the report came from that said that the FBI is purchasing large amounts of data from these data brokers.
Now, these data brokers, we're going to explain in more detail, but you were listening then to Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, who is a representative of the state of Washington, Democrat. And she's concerned about what the FBI has been gathering on American citizens from data brokers. Let's continue.
that information contains everything from your location information, your medical information. It could contain information about all kinds of private things that I think the American people understand they do not want the FBI to have. And so I have an amendment on this topic in the NDAA. It's a bipartisan amendment. And this whole area of the FBI utilizing information of Americans without a warrant. These are all warrantless searches that are done. They are backdoor searches. The information is used in ways that we don't know. We have a lot of information about this, and the FBI has not been forthcoming with its answers.
They're not forthcoming because they don't want to explain everything. Again, that's a Democrat, Congresswoman Yaya Paul of Washington. And she says, we're not getting the information. And she says that now you want to come and you want us to give you the authority to renew the FISA warrants. Of course, the FISA warrants were primarily used against Donald Trump. But she is admitting tomorrow it could be used against us.
I did say at the end of my questioning of Director Wray that if he wants the reauthorization of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which I happen to think is an important piece of legislation, but it contains some very important issues around privacy, we are going to need answers to this, and we're going to need some significant reforms about how the FBI uses Americans' data and how we protect the privacy of Americans across this country.
And if you don't get that, it sounds like you would consider blocking the reauthorization. Is that right?
Well, I think we need to get some really significant reforms if we're going to reauthorize FISA, because I don't think that we can sacrifice the liberty and the privacy of Americans.
You hear that from a Democrat. And I stress that because there are Democrats that can be sane and realize we have lost control of our government. And if it can be weaponized against one party, what's to keep them from coming after us if the other side gets in control? This is not what any of us want. I want to take you back to Congressman Nels of Texas, Troy Nels. And again, I pointed out one of the other reasons that Wray was appearing before the committee yesterday, in addition trying to get the FISA warrant renewed just as is, no changes. And then we want more money, more money, more money. And Congressman Nell says, no.
So now let's get into the money, Mr. Wray. How much taxpayer money has been spent on January 6th?
I don't know that I have the figure
head.
Fine. But
Mr. Wray, I got an article here, December 22, 2022, 2 years after the events of January 6th, and it says the Justice Department has requested another $34 million from Congress. And number one, you shouldn't get another dime. The FBI shouldn't get another dime for this political witch hunt against the greatest president in my lifetime, Donald J. Trump.
Well, of course, that's a Republican, and he's entitled to make that statement. But yeah, the way they've been spending it, no, they should not get another dime. And how much did they spend on the January 6th? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You don't know anything. Now, coming up, there's a break. The Secret Service has news about the cocaine found at the White House. We'll be dealing with that before we wrap up this hour. And also, the Democrat lies about ethics needed for the Supreme Court. They are lies. And Tom Jipping of the Heritage Foundation, a legal expert, will explain why they're complaining about, quote, ethics. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before and always glad to have him, a legal expert from the Heritage Foundation, Thomas Gipping. Tom, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before I get into a piece that you wrote that I think is a great comment piece that appeared in the Daily Signal, I want to read a quote from you that came out the other day, actually June 29. This is as Biden was commenting about basically what he thinks of the U.S. Supreme Court. And his remarks are, let me get the exact quote. I don't like giving it off the top of the head. He was claiming, well, that was the Nicole Wallace, the anchor. Here was a statement by Biden. He was asked by a CNN reporter, President Biden, the Congressional Black Caucus, and the Supreme Court has thrown into question its own legitimacy. Is this a rogue court? His answer, this is not a normal court. What the hell does that mean?
I have no idea. Of course it's a normal court. I don't know a period of time when it hasn't been. Words like rogue and legitimacy and all of that are thrown around today to hide the fact that there are folks on the left who don't like some of the Supreme Court's decisions. Well, there have been plenty of times in the past when folks on the right haven't liked Supreme Court decisions. That's not the point.
And I don't remember us ever calling them a rogue court.
No, of course not. The independence of our judiciary is the reason why our judicial system is the best in the world. And that means that from time to time, folks at different parts of the political spectrum are going to like or dislike certain decisions. The point that I would ask President Biden, show me how any of the court's decisions are legally incorrect. Don't call names. Don't, you know, repeat rumors and innuendos and all of that. Show me how their decisions are legally incorrect.
Tom, I'm really sorry to do this to you, but I hate to challenge you. Are you expecting him to deal with facts?
Well, I've been in Washington for 33 years, and I hope I don't lose completely the hope that our leaders will, in fact, pay some attention to the truth and to the facts. Call me naive, but I hope I don't abandon that completely.
Well, not entirely. He was talking, by the way, at that point, this was a few hours after the Supreme Court ruled its 6-3 ruling, effectively ending race-based discrimination. And so for that reason, he said it's going to be bad because we're ending race-based discrimination, such as in college admissions and so forth. What would be wrong with that again? I know it's a 6-3 decision. Three judges obviously agree with him.
There was a period of time where we had a great consensus in this country that the equal protection of the laws and the way our Constitution is written means that our goal should be to get rid of race discrimination. Now, there are folks on the left, as opposed to a different part of the political spectrum, who find race discrimination useful. The normal thing is to say we really ought to be against race discrimination. I mean,
Go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead. I'm sorry. How dare you?
Well, I was just going to say, how arrogant is it to say that anything I don't like must be, quote, not normal or rogue or anything, to simply to not accept the idea that you're not going to get your way every single time and institutions of government are not going to do exactly what you want all the time.
And they have a prime target. They have a, yeah, grow up. Yeah, I'd like to see that happen. To that extent, the, one of their main issues is a black man on the U.S. Supreme Court by the name of Clarence Thomas, who is a conservative. They don't want him on the court, and they start looking at some vacation times and trips he took with a billionaire friend from Texas and said, you know, we need new ethics. Your piece that you wrote for the Daily Signal titled Senate Democrat Supreme Court Ethics Bill is really about disapproval of rulings.
Yeah, the there's a campaign going on today, which is probably the most dishonest campaign against the Supreme Court that I have ever seen. And again, they don't show you how their decisions are legally incorrect. Instead, they want you to think badly of the Supreme Court. They want you to doubt that it's impartial. They want you to question its integrity for some vague reason. And the way they're doing it is to say every decision you don't like must be the product of corrupt, unethical, biased judges. And, you know, this is going to permanently destroy what has made our judiciary the best in the world for more than 200 years. Once you cross that line where the public begins to believe that the Supreme Court is wrong just because they don't like it, just because the Supreme Court is not furthering some political agenda, what really is the heart of our judicial system, I think is going to be lost forever.
I like what you wrote in your article, and again, you're listening to Thomas Jipping, a legal expert with the Heritage Foundation. You wrote in your article for the Daily Signal, instead of being called an issue about ethics, it should be titled the Judiciary Know Your Place Act.
That's right. Huh. The Senator Sheldon Whitehouse has introduced a bill that would require the Supreme Court to issue some sort of code of conduct, although the bill doesn't say what that code of conduct has to be. But more importantly, it creates a mechanism whereby anybody in America can file as many complaints as they want about anything that a justice does that they don't like. And every one of those complaints then has to be investigated by a group of federal judges. And the only purpose for any of this is simply to make the Supreme Court knuckle under, to have them be intimidated to say, unless you rule the way I want, this is the kind of chaos that we're going to unleash. And as I said, it's going to destroy the judiciary.
You point out in the article that the court and the justices were not, in fact, by rules, required to disclose personal hospitality, such as transportation or lodging, till a few months ago. And, of course, their target was originally Clarence Thomas. That's who they were after.
Sure.
But you also point out that Wall Street Journal article said that he didn't have to do, Alito didn't have to do a three-day fishing trip 15 years ago. But this is blown up in their face, and now Democrats on the Supreme Court, those that rule in favor of what they like to hear, they're now a target.
Well, if I asked anybody of your listeners, is there anything wrong with someone going on vacation with a friend? If I asked them, is there anything wrong with someone traveling to another state to go fishing with a friend?
Well, should I ask, what does she look like? Tell me. Go ahead. I want another direction.
They would look at you like you were crazy.
Yeah.
What could possibly be wrong with that? That's the sin that Justice Clarence Thomas, Justice Samuel Alito have done. And all the left is doing is suggesting, ooh, these guys, these friends are rich.
Yeah.
That must mean that these justices are bought and paid for, and that these justices are ruling the way those rich friends tell them to.
Everyone
knows that's a lie.
Yeah, so as Democrat billionaire Illinois Governor Pritzker paid for a trip by former Justice Stephen Breyer to Europe. Would that be an ethics violation?
Of course it would have been if this is the way you look at it. In 2018, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg took a trip to Israel completely paid for by a billionaire named Morris Kahn, who in fact brought cases before her on the Supreme Court. He paid for transportation, lodging, food. No one said a word.
Did she recuse herself from any of those cases?
No, she didn't. And I would say, in my opinion, she didn't have to.
Okay.
The rules require only that certain kinds of gifts, certain kinds of things that come from third parties have to be disclosed. That kind of personal hospitality, that's what it's called, that kind of personal hospitality wasn't required to be disclosed.
Well, How does this fit in then with Justice Sotomayor writing books and then her staff calling colleges and universities saying, hey, we've got a book you probably want to put in the hands of your students. How many copies do you want? Hundreds? Thousands? Now, to me,
that looks a lot more scandalous than going on a fishing trip. And but the left isn't going to call her out because they like her decisions. That's what this is about. Targeting for harassment, coercion, intimidation, justices on the Supreme Court who aren't ruling the way you want. You know, when that kind of thing happens in another context, it's called extortion.
Yeah.
And, you know, people go to jail for stuff like that. That's what's going on here, and people have to see that for what it is.
Now, we do know that when judges, that's been always an issue for many, that Supreme, in the last 30 seconds, they're appointed for life. And should that continue?
Of course it should. And this is one of the reasons why, so that justices won't have to be intimidated and won't have to respond and cave to pressure like this. The problem isn't how long a justice serves. The problem is those who want to coerce and intimidate judges to do what they want.
So the bottom line is it's not a matter of ethics. It's who we want there, and we want that one out, we want another one in, or we want more to vote over them. Tom, thank you.
That's right.
Thank you, as always, for your knowledge. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, Larry.
You bet. Thomas Chipping, Heritage Foundation. I told you the Secret Service now says it has information about cocaine in the White House. To my knowledge, no justice of the Supreme Court went through the White House prior to that being found. To my knowledge. Stand by, please. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, here it is. Here's your breaking news on the cocaine in the White House. Now, remember this. When it was first found, it was a baggie of a white powder. The Secret Service found it, and of course, it apparently, depending upon who told the story when, it was moving around. It was here, it was there, it was here, it was here, but then it was found. They didn't know what it was, and to be careful to make sure it wasn't some biological weapon that had been placed in the White House, and if opened up would put spores into the air and kill everyone in the White House, they evacuated the White House. They called in a hazmat team and the FBI and the Secret Service together all to take a look at what is this stuff. The fire department quickly evaluated and tested its cocaine. And that's the only reason we know it was found. If they had just decided to check it before asking to evacuate the White House and notifying the fire department, you never, never would have heard of the cocaine being found in the White House. At least not by any sources that don't want it to be found or even be acknowledged. So then the FBI and the Secret Service, specifically the Secret Service, has to investigate, obviously. How did it get there? What's it doing there? Here's their answer. If you're driving right now, you're listening, please do not lose control of your vehicle. I don't want to be blamed for it. If you think you need a moment to change lanes, get off to the side, I'm going to give you a moment to do so, because I just don't want to see a big pileup. And they said, well, I was listening to Larry Connors USA, and I could not believe it. Yeah, you're not going to believe it. The Secret Service now, after, has basically not done any fingerprinting, hasn't done any lie detector test. Apparently no real questions asked, as is written by one person here. Secret Service fails to sniff out cocaine culprit. I love that. Good writing. Bottom line is, the Secret Service announcing, we cannot identify. We cannot identify who smuggled cocaine into the White House on July 2nd. Now stop for a second. Now, they know it came in on July 2nd? Or was that the date they found it? Well, it was the date they found it, but did it come in on that date? Judging by the stories, that's what they're saying. Cannot identify who smuggled cocaine into the White House on July 2nd. And, of course, now you got a lot of lawmakers and others saying, Joe Biden, you pledged to restore decency and honor of the White House, and now you got that Hunter Biden stuff sniffing around in your White House. Now, I'm not saying Hunter Biden did it. I don't know. Did someone bring it to Hunter Biden? Did someone have it and forget they had it and they put it away to, so it would be found? Remember, in the beginning, the White House press secretary said, well, that's a part of the area where we have a lot of guests go back and forth in various tours. But anyone who goes into the White House goes one through a magnetometer to make sure you're not carrying any weapon like a gun. It would not pick up the cocaine. But you also have to go past a canine sniffing dog that can find cocaine or any other drugs you have on you. So you're not going to get into the White House with it. Unless you come in through one of the entrances basically set aside for family and influential friends, diplomats, and dial 1-800-HOOKER. I don't know. Somebody like that. So now, and I'm going to quote NBC, so you know it's not me making it up. NBC News. The Secret Service was not able to identify the struggling rather the smugglers despite using two FBI crime lab technicians to attempt to lift a fingerprint. Apparently they couldn't get one. And according to NBC News, sources have told one of their reporters, no information from forensic testing or video review has been able to identify a suspect. A list of several hundred individuals was compiled who might have had access to that area. CNN is even saying the Secret Service did look through, quote, visitor logs and surveillance footage of some of these hundreds of individuals permitted to enter the West Wing, no suspect being identified as carrying the cocaine. Also reporting a leading theory remains that a visitor who transited the west exit, west executive entrance, was likely responsible. But they're not so sure about that either. The visitor appears to exclude administration, White House employees, and family members. It's not clear whether Hunter Biden officially resides at the mansion, so he's in and out there so often. Is he a visitor, or does he live there? No one really knows. Congressman Burdett, Republican of Tennessee, said lawmakers were briefed, and he said, that's about all we know. Another quote from Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, says the substance was thought to be brought in by a pass holder. A pass holder is someone who has prior clearance from the Secret Service. You have to wear it around your neck or attach your lapel to show that you have a right to be in whatever part of the White House you're in. You're not just a visitor. You actually have a cleared pass. Congresswoman Boebert, Republican of Colorado, said the White House controls who has access to the White House and the lockers that individuals use. And she said the substance was found in Locker 50. She claimed the key for Locker 50 is, oh my God, look in your pocket, check under your seat cushions. The key to Locker 50 is missing. Well, now, isn't somebody's name associated and connected to that locker and that key? Larry, thanks for asking the question. If the Secret Service asked the question, they didn't get an answer. Another news report says no mention of the Secret Service interviewing anyone, including Hunter Biden. Nor did they do any drug testing, but now the case is closed. It's done. If you were employed at the White House, you are knowledgeable in the sense that when you took the job, that at any point they could put you on a lie detector and you must submit to it, or they could do drug testing on you and you must submit to it, or you lose your job. And if you don't do it, they're probably going to do it anyway and charge you with a crime. They didn't even bother. Apparently, they didn't ask anybody. They looked at the baggie and apparently could not get fingerprints off of it. That's possible that no prints were there. Maybe the person handling it was using gloves. But the mystery is not solved. But again, if I'm going to look to a suspect, you know who I'm going to look to. Speaking of Hunter Biden, you know, right now we have Gal Luff, the dual Israeli-American citizen, who's been charged with not registering as a foreign agent and also drug trafficking. And they want to basically punish him because he had, a couple of years ago, met some FBI agents in Brussels at their request and gave them information about the Bidens and money that might have been exchanged with the Bidens. Didn't say Joe Biden, just Biden family. And then immediately he begins to worry that, well, they never called back, they never checked in, never said thank you, da-da-da-da, and begin to think they're not going to do anything with it. And then suddenly begin to realize, maybe they're going to come after me. He began to fear for his life. So he ran. They caught him. Arrested him. He's disappeared again. They didn't keep him in custody. He posted the bail and he's out. And he's still running for his life, apparently. He should be testifying before members of Congress at some point. Now, he was charged with not registering as a foreign agent. Hunter Biden, in one of his text exchanges with one of his partners and whistleblower in this case, Tony Bobulinski, sent a text to Bobulinski about warning to make sure we do not register as a foreign agent of this Chinese energy company. I don't want to do that. He said, no matter what it will need to be a U.S. company at some level in order for us to make bids on federal and state-funded projects, but we don't want to have to register as foreign agents which is more expensive than people who should know choose not to know. Can you decipher that? We don't want the cat out of the bag that I've been doing some of this activity. I want to go back to, as we began this hour, to FBI Director Christopher Wray and some of his testimony, and that in the face of his testimony and our current system of justice in this country. Coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
James Comey decided not to prosecute Hillary Clinton despite overwhelming evidence that she committed crimes. And as I recall, it was the position of the FBI to not prosecute because they didn't want to interfere with the presidential election. What do you call this? The Iowa caucuses are in 6 months. 6 months. I think the American public would expect to see this from Cuba and from Venezuela and from Russia and from China, but not here. The people expect us to have blind justice. They expect equal justice under the law. It is not the job of the DOJ or the FBI to prosecute Joe Biden's top political opponent, who was leading in every single primary poll, and the Iowa caucuses are in 6 months. Let the people decide. It's our job to uphold the Constitution. As a West Point grad and military veteran, this is the Constitution I'm giving my life to protect, and I expect us all to uphold it likewise.
And I applaud those remarks. That is Congressman Wesley Hunt of Texas. And that was a statement he made to FBI Director Christopher Wray in front of the congressional hearing yesterday. And he's absolutely right. You remember James Comey going before Congress and saying, yes, Hillary did this wrong, she did that wrong, she shouldn't have had the server. We did not get all the emails because she decided what she would give and not give. Da-da, blah, blah. In other words, holding also intel and information that some were listed as classified, some might have been, maybe not. Bottom line is, the FBI director decided no prosecutor would actually move forward with this case. That was not his J-O-B. His J-O-B is to investigate, turn the information over to the prosecutor, the attorney general in this case. But she got compromised when Bill Clinton visited on the plane on the tarmac in Phoenix, Arizona, talking about grandkids and golf while Hillary Clinton was under investigation at that point about her secret server that she had at her home. And Loretta Lynch at that time said basically, whatever the FBI director decides, I will go with that. In other words, you don't want a charger. That's what your statement's going to be, and that's what I will follow. We began this hour talking about the concern that exists in America today. Many, many, and that includes Democrats, not just MAGA Republicans, not just Christians, not just Catholics, not just parents of kids in school that are having CRT and pronouns shoved down their throats, or even military members who are having to put up with the same CRAP. We are seeing a loss of trust in our government, our institutions, and rightly so. One of the latest surveys, I believe, was from CNN and NNN, and said 37% of Americans believe the FBI is still a good organization. 37%. That's nothing to be gloating about. No, we are seeing a two-tier system of justice. Christopher Wray took offense at that remark, saying, not on my watch, that's not the way we're doing it. Sir, with all due respect, that's exactly what you're doing. and all those around you. We're going to spend more time on that in the next hour. And also, are you having trouble with your money and you're not feeling secure economically right now? It's all in your head. It's in your head, not your pocketbook. That's coming up in the next hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.